Welcome to our service for Trinity Sunday. A little later we shall hear Jane reading from Isaiah chapter 6, the day that King Uzziah died. And in our first hymn, we join with the angel's song from that reading. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. It's time for our rite of penitence. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you have given us the knowledge of your truth. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd, leading us into life. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have failed to do those things that we ought to have done, and we have done those things that we ought not to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Trinity Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of the divine majesty, to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's almost exactly a year since the death of George Floyd. I thought it might be a good time to reflect on what has happened in those 12 months in relation to racism and anti-racist politics, especially in our own country. Although the first and most important thing to say is that the policeman who killed Mr. Floyd has been found guilty of killing him, the first time such a verdict has been passed on a police officer in that jurisdiction. In our own country, Floyd's death led to a burst of outrage, including, for example, the destruction of the statue of the slave trader Edward Colston in Bristol. The Black Lives Matter campaign, which already existed, came forward more into the public eye. In sport, in particular, where many of Britain's leading performers are black, the sustained protest of taking the knee continues. The BBC had a discussion between ex-England internationals Ian Wright and Alan Shearer. Wright is black, and was trying to help Shearer understand what it feels like to suffer the poisonous racial abuse which he suffered in his career and still suffers online. Our government's response was to announce a Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities, which reported in March this year. Its chair was Tony Sewell, a respected black educationalist specialising in the education of the poor. Without going too much into detail, it is clear that the Commission has been a missed opportunity and that it has and will change nothing. The government quietly welcomed its conclusion that Britain was not institutional or systematically racist, and then, so far as one can tell, forgot it. Black Lives Matter and other campaign groups roundly condemned that conclusion. It has been a waste of the time of some very good and talented people. It was a cynical initiative, really, designed to show that the government was doing something in response to international outrage. It carefully selected people who were known as conservatives or moderates on the subject of race, and their report reflected that. It so happens that I'm a moderate on that subject myself, but it's obvious that what is desperately needed is a constructive conversation between those who take a moderate position and representatives of that large section of the black community who are angry. The Commission has done nothing to foster that conversation because, precisely, it didn't include anyone who was angry in its own internal conversations. To try to understand why black people might be angry, let me tell you a story from my son Joe. Joe is an excellent chef, having worked in a kitchen in London when he was a student, and he has a black friend still who works in that same line in London, and who therefore is often on his way home after his shift, late at night or early in the morning. At the latest count, that young man has been stopped and searched by the police 26 times, or at least stopped. I'm not sure exactly on how many of those occasions he was actively searched. Now, stop and search is a vital technique for the Metropolitan Police in their efforts to bring down knife crime, a kind of crime which young black men are most likely to be the perpetrators of, and to an even greater degree, most likely to be the victims. So there may have been a valid reason why this young man was so often stopped and searched. But if you can imagine how it feels to be treated in that way, you will get some idea why so many black people simply reject the idea that Britain is not systemically racist. Here is the state stopping me every other month or so, I suppose, as I go about my lawful business, and stopping me essentially on the grounds of my race. How can you suggest to me then that the state is not systemically racist, or that the police are not institutionally racist? This is just one example of what the campaigners call the argument from lived experience. Effectively, they're saying, don't tell me that Britain is not systemically racist until you've tried to live my black life here. And Stop and Search is just one example. The truth is that every black person in Britain will have experienced sometime or another racial abuse, which ranges from what is called microaggression to outright violence. It doesn't happen to every black person every day, perhaps not to any black person every day, but it happens enough to make you feel that racism is everywhere. I sang for a while with a young black woman who was on track to be a marvellous opera singer. She was going to further her career in a company in southern Italy, an area known for its open racism. I asked if she wasn't worried about the racism that she might meet there. She looked at me pityingly. "It's everywhere," she said. She was an expensively educated, brilliantly successful artiste with the world at her feet and the respect of all of us who were privileged to know her. But that was her lived experience. It's everywhere. And into that conversation, then, we put the carefully researched, meticulously evidenced, nuanced conclusions of the Sewell Commission. Across all areas of life, the statistics show that black people in Britain are not disadvantaged on the basis of their race, or at least not on the basis of their race alone. For example, the Education Select Committee of the House of Commons is doing a piece of research at present on the poor performance of socially disadvantaged white boys in education. They are doing at least as badly as, in fact, almost certainly worse than, black boys from the same socioeconomic background. And it appears to be the socioeconomic background that makes the difference, not the student's race. Meanwhile, in the criminal justice system, black people accused of crime are more often convicted than white, but it turns out that this is in large part because they are much more likely to plead guilty. You can see at once that secondary questions then arise. Why are there so many more black people in poorer socioeconomic groups? Some campaigners argue it's a direct legacy of how the Windrush generation were treated when they first arrived in Britain. Or are lawyers right when they advise black people to plead guilty? Or is that decision itself racially biased? This area, whether as a black accused you should plead guilty or not, is especially revealing. One thing we know is that juries are not more likely to convict black defendants than white ones. The statistics are perfectly clear and juries are fair. The primary reason why so many more black people plead guilty is that they don't believe this. They don't trust the criminal justice system. It makes them much less likely to cooperate with the police or trust the legal advice of legal aid solicitors who can be seen as part of the system. All this is from David Lammy's persuasive review of the interaction between black people and the criminal justice system. But what it means is that the idea that the criminal justice system is unfair to black people is, in this respect at least, a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy made by black people themselves against themselves. They suffer for it. But then, if you'd been stopped and searched 26 times, you wouldn't trust the criminal justice system, would you? And that is the conversation which we need to have and which the government has failed to foster. Content merely to accept the conclusion that the system is no longer institutionally racist, it has ignored the other recommendations of the Sewell Commission, just as it ignored for a long time half the recommendations of the Lammy Review. We need a better conversation with black people who are angry. I want to finish by returning to another conversation, which I referred to earlier, between Ian Wright and Alan Shearer. Shearer, of course, is a Geordie, a white working-class lifelong supporter of Newcastle United, with whom he finished his career. As a boy, he stood on the terraces at Newcastle and watched one of the early black professionals, Howard Gale, who played for them. Newcastle are known locally as the Toon, that being the local pronunciation of the word town. The Newcastle fans had a chant for Gale. "He's black, he's brown, he's playing for the Toon, Howard Gale." Shearer described it to Wright, who explained how hurtful it was, because it reduced a man simply to his colour. In fact, Gale himself says that he welcomed the song. It showed an acceptance in contrast to the abuse he suffered elsewhere. But that was 1981, and as Gale acknowledges, the times are different now. Now it would be unacceptable. It would perhaps be called a microaggression, friendly enough, but still a reminder that you're not one of us. But what really struck me as I watched Wright and Shearer was how differently our government is at present treating the two communities from which they come. Shearer is, of course, a product of the Red Wall, those constituencies in the industrial north, former Labour heartlands, which turned en masse to the Conservatives at the last election. Their flavour of the month with the government. Its key strategy, or so it says, is the levelling up agenda, raising the prosperity of those northern areas to the levels which are enjoyed in the more prosperous south. Why did those constituencies change allegiance? Well, they voted Tory first because they had first voted by a substantial majority in favour of Brexit. They voted for Brexit, rather like Port Talbot in South Wales, because whatever the system was supposed to be doing, it wasn't working for them. Their communities seemed to be forgotten. But it struck me as I watched Shearer and Wright that if you'd said to them, "No, the system's not rigged against you," they might have replied, exactly like so many in the black community, that their lived experience proves that it is rigged, and has done for two generations now. Those constituencies voted Brexit because they wanted to kick somebody, and the EU was there to kick. 3 years on, it was obvious that the Labour Party wasn't listening to them, so they kicked them too. They're angry, and their anger has elected a Conservative government which is shaping its agenda to try and keep their votes. But 1 year on from the death of George Floyd, watching Wright and Shearer, I found myself thinking that it is a pity that our government has decided not to take the anger of black people with similar seriousness. Amen. So we come to the confession of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Time now for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by David. We begin, as usual, with the Lord's Prayer. In ta dat an oit in a nevoid, sancte dhe de enu, de led de dat nas gunella de wachlis, megis in an e vechli ar a dhear hebi. Dat an I heddiw in bara benyddiol, a maddai I ni in de ledion, vel a maddiw ni na in de ledwyr. Ac nac arwan ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canu sydd o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendour of your whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word, and for the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience, by which he overcame temptation, for his dying, through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Almighty God, the Creator and Preserver of all humankind, we humbly beseech thee for all sorts and conditions of people, that thou wouldest be pleased to make thy ways known to them, thy saving grace to all nations. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the good estate of the Catholic Church, that it may be so guided and governed by thy good Spirit, that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth, and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray thee to guide and direct all who govern the nations of the world, especially our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and those who are set in authority over us, that we and all people may be justly and quietly governed. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are afflicted or distressed, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them endurance under their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear. Let light perpetual shine upon them, and in thy loving wisdom and almighty power work in them the good purpose of thy perfect will. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we remember that your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem, in what is now Israel. We pray, Lord, for a lasting peace in the area, and particularly for justice, for all who live in the land where once our Lord Jesus Christ lived. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, who has promised to hear the petitions of those who ask in thy Son's name, grant that those things which we have faithfully asked, according to thy will, may effectually be obtained, to the relief of our necessity, and to the setting forth of thy glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came from heaven, but I danced on earth. In Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. For the scribe and the Pharisee, but they wouldn't dance and they wouldn't follow me. Dance for the fishermen, for James and John, they came with me and the dance went on. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. Whipped and they stripped and they hung me high. They left me there on the cross to die. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. When the sky turned black, it's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Down, but I leap up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. And I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Let us pray. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.